Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The New Testament reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 8 and 15 and 16. Now, one could make a case for our lesson today from Hebrews that is something of a hodgepodge of final recommendations in Christian life. Just as we read a moment ago, Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2, the beginning of our readings this month in Hebrews, tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus in the race of life. But those who have ears, let them hear. Change encompasses all parts of our life. Yet the gospel is unchanging. A church awakened to this reality understands that although the message will never change, the way the church shares the message to community gives us an opportunity to go in and change lives in a new way. So hear now from Hebrews chapter 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you were yourselves being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Help us upon hearing these words to know how to give the message, the good news, to a world that is suffering. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Over time, many readers of the Bible have mulled over about this, what the book of Hebrews is really saying. One of my seminary professors used to joke that the funny thing about the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews is that this is a perfect name for the writing, except that it's not written from Paul, it was not written to the Hebrews, and it's not an epistle. So whatever it is, Hebrews offers wisdom to those in the church who want to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. The writing, among other things, has to do with living faithfully in the midst of a wider society as people who are obedient to the Messiah, while yet not being all that impressed with how the world does business around them. In other words, we could call this writing adaptation. Can we roll with the punches? Now, most of us would say that being able to adapt is a sign of maturity and a healthy person or healthy organization, a healthy community, and a healthy church. I once heard a joke about a man from the back mountains of somewhere, won't say where, back mountains of somewhere, who found himself one day in a large city for the first time, and for the first time standing in front of an elevator. So he watches as the elevator door opens And an old haggard woman walks in. The elevator door closes, and he starts to watch as it goes up and up and up and stops. And then it comes down, 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 down. And the elevator door opens, and out walks this beautiful woman. And a few minutes later, he says to his youngest son, "Billy, go get mother." Now, this anecdote would not be understandable unless we understood and recognized someone who was not technologically advanced in this story. Yet, you see, all of us, to one extent or another, are victims of technology that seems to continually outrun us. And certainly, I can tell you that was true this week, at least for me. I mentioned the ones who are not technologically challenged, although I think they were also a little bit challenged after we got hit with a lightning. But let's take our cars, for instance. Now, some of you might remember, in days gone by, people knew how to fix their own cars, right? And they also knew how to check out a telephone and what was going on with the telephone. But today, new cars need computer technicians as much as mechanics. And you have to, really get overwhelmed when you read the smartphone directions. It sounds more like an MIT treatise. So, in a real sense, we are stuck with change, for better or for worse. It is almost every human being's destiny to either change or face the alternative of getting run over by everything else and everyone else that is changing. So as an interesting quotation puts it, some people will change when they see the light. Others change when they feel the heat. Now, I'd like to suggest that it could be both and. So this text this week raised a couple of questions for me. Number one, can we be in the light of God and stay firmly planted in the chaos of life? And number two, can we stand in the fires of life and not get burned? I want to look at those two questions more closely. The scripture reading today, at least part of it, reminds us of one truth that has never changed. It's a truth that we hang on to rapidly in a rapidly changing life, and we find ourselves in a place where can we stand firmly? And this text from verse 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we stand firmly on that solid foundation, that cornerstone, if you will. But first we need to ask ourselves, who were these people what was this congregation to whom the letter of Hebrews is addressed? A wonderful teacher of preaching, Mr. Tom Long, speaks of tiredness of the community addressed in Hebrews. Tiredness that comes from the territory of living distinctive and faithful lives in the midst of wearying circumstances. I see so much of that going on around us, don't you? I see myself in this description, and it's almost frightening. I get tired, and I know you get tired. Exhaustion is real. We get tired easily, maybe especially today. 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, I did something I can't remember the last time I've done something like this. It's been a long, hot July, and there was a lot of stress going on in the ministry. Lots was going on. And I found myself that Friday night completely exhausted. So I went to bed at 8 o'clock. And I woke up almost noon the next day. I don't sleep that long. I'm more like a, 10 to 5 kind of gal. But I woke up, and when I woke up, I felt amazing. Amazing. And it got me thinking, wow, sleep can do that? We need sleep. It's a needed ingredient for the people of God. So note to self, to walk in the light of God in the midst of the chaos and the stresses and in a broken world, I need to sleep. We need to sleep. We think we know what we need to do as a church, as a community, as a people of God, and then we just get tired. And when we get tired, we get apathetic. And apathy is never productive. Well, what do we get apathetic about? Well, we're tired of feeding the poor. We get tired of teaching Sunday school. We get tired of visiting the sick and caring for the dying. We get tired of being responsible in this community for the schools, the baseball program, the fine arts, the hospital, the city council, the service clubs, the library, the county government. We could go on and on of the things that we just get tired. And I think I know what it is that makes us so tired. It's not that we may not be getting enough sleep. Maybe some of us are. It's not that we don't believe anymore. We have faith. We are tired of all the changes that we see around us and that we face all the time. Every time we seem to get something down packed, what happens? There's a change. We have to adjust and we have to adapt to the things that we thought we had a firm grasp on. We have to accommodate things that we thought we were had under control. How many of you have experienced that? Constant change. It's constant. Unfortunately, none of us has the luxury to fail to change or even to ignore it. Change is just too powerful. Yet God calls us not to be a warrior, but to be a warrior in life. To live in the valleys of change where there's chaos and still thrive. It calls that week for us to not only have restful sleep, but spiritual renewal in our lives. Now, some would want to say, stay in those spiritual renewed places where we get that. Some would want to stay on the mountain of enlightenment. Think about Peter and James and John on that high mountain with Jesus. The disciples were afraid of what they saw. Jesus transfigured. We call this the transfiguration. But what did Jesus do? He came to them in their fear. He touched them and he said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they didn't see anybody but just Jesus in his plain clothes. That must have been an amazing experience when you think about it. What happened here? I know Peter wanted to just build a castle right there on the spot. Let's not go anywhere. Let's stay right up here. This is where we're going to start the kingdom, right here. But that's not what happened. Jesus led them down to the valley of hunger and poverty and disease, and he began to heal people and feed the multitude. You know, we want to stay in those enlightened experiences. We want to stay in the aha moments of life. It's where we want to just be there. But we can't. Those experiences, although they're good for us and they do renew us, we're always going to be called to stand in the chaos of life. But the example of Jesus is this. The most enlightened one is the one who does indeed stand in the chaos, learning how not to run in the face of life's challenges and changes. My daughter, who is an author, Lindsay Gibson, many of you met her, wrote in her memoir that during the challenge of great trauma, to just be, for just being in the light of God, being with the emotion, being with the fear, being with God is where the healing begins. And then we let God lead us. And so it was the most enlightened one is not the most enlightened one is not the one trying to be enlightened, but just be in the presence of God. It is the ones who carry the light with them and live into the rawness of life. The author of Hebrews reminds us that God will be with us. Or it says, I will never leave you and forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Which leads me to the second question. Can you stand in the fires of life and not get burned? Here's what I know about the fires of life. They are not meant to break you or harm you. The Bible teaches us that the fires of life are to show you that you are a warrior, not a warrior, a warrior standing with God in your presence. You can walk with Jesus who has already gone through it and be protected. Fear does not win, you see. We know that. In the end, fear does not win. Evil does not win. Love does. And we stand with the Most High God, our Creator. So we learn to adapt to new ways of doing things as we pray and as we stand on the messages, keeping watch of the sacred things of God, the promises of God. And we learn to reach out to our communities, the people out there that may be suffering, in new ways that get the message of hope, the message of the gospel to a world that does indeed get bored easily. And with people desperate for that unchanging truth we read today, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here's what I recommend as we go through this fire together. And I say together, because there's more power together as a community of faith. Look for new ways in which we spread the message of the gospel so the world doesn't get bored, by meeting people where they are, and so that we don't get tired of trying to make changes that we don't understand how to help them through. Where are the people in our lives that need us to be in the light? At your home, in your neighborhood, at your places of work, at the retirement community or the golf club? Where is it that God wants you to bring your light out there? And to remember that tiredness does not feed our creativity. So get some sleep if you're tired. Let us store up our energies because we're going to need it in this world. It's part of what it means to be a disciple standing on the message that Jesus Christ is indeed the same. Jesus is rock solid. And that will keep us from burning up in the fires of life if we lean into that. Let me tell you something. God does not want us tired. God's people, when listening to God's lead, following the light of Christ, will not grow tired. God will provide the spiritual rest for us when we stop and let God be in our presence. The challenges posed by contemporary culture, that will never cease. So it's a question of how are we going to adapt? Leo Tolstoy once said, everybody thinks of changing humanity. You know, we get tired when we think about how are we going to change and help these people. But nobody thinks of changing himself. When we leave worship today, let us ask ourselves, with Jesus beside me, with Jesus' help, how can I adapt to a world that's constantly changing and help them for the better and for the sake of the gospel and not grow weary? May God find us in that sweet spot, living out our purpose on earth. Amen.